Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, February 19th, 2023, Romans.
That was Sandy Patty singing How Great Thou Art, and I played that just, that's what I expect you to sound like. Of course, some of those notes, I couldn't hit that those notes except I was stuck on an electrified fence, you know. And before we get started with anything, this is a Chris and Karina Jones. They both have birthdays this week. Karina's on Monday and Chris is on Thursday, and neither one of them are here, so this goes to the highest bidder. What am I giving for this? Also, he didn't put anything up there, and that is, today is my son, Deacon Dave's birthday is today. So he's out there. Happy birthday to you! Now that is a very good happy birthday. See, I hate the regular happy birthday. Sucks.
Happy birthday to you.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God first of all to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have preserved the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 have introduced us and brought us back to a very important doctrine in the Word of God, the doctrine of imputation. Romans 5, verse 12 sounds like this: because of this, just as by the agency of one man, Adam, sin, and it's in the singular, the sin nature, entered into the world, and spiritual death through the sin nature, and in this way spiritual death spread to all mankind, every member of the human race, because all sinned when Adam sinned. Verse 13, that is, Before the Mosaic Law was given, personal sin kept on being in the world. But personal sin is not imputed. It wasn't imputed to any of us individually. They were all kept and collected to be imputed to Jesus Christ on the cross to solve the world problem of sin. So, but personal sin is not imputed when the Mosaic Law did not exist. Well, Romans 5:12 is the transitional verse between the much mores of justification and reconciliation, which we have studied, and the much mores of the great parenthesis in verses 13 to 17. This has reintroduced us to the doctrine of imputation. In chapter 4, we studied the two judicial imputations, and now we're looking at the entire doctrine in our Romans 5 study. There are two categories of imputation. There are real imputations and there are judicial imputations. Real imputations are where the justice of God imputes under the principle of antecedence and affinity. In a real imputation, what is imputed is in harmony or agreement, affinity with the target of the imputation. There are also judicial imputations where the justice of God imputes what is not antecedently its own. And therefore, there is no affinity, no home, no target between what is imputed and the recipient. And therefore, only one factor exists in judicial imputations, and that is what is being imputed. In the plan of God, there are seven imputations. There are two judicial imputations and five real imputations. The two judicial imputations, we have studied both of these. The first one, our personal sins, were gathered up by God the Father and imputed to Jesus Christ on the cross, and then judged in the Lord Jesus Christ, solving the world problem of sin. That was a judicial imputation because Jesus Christ was impeccable, sinless perfection. There was no home or no target for the sins of the world. Being impeccable, sinless perfection, he was qualified. He had to be impeccable to be qualified to go to the cross and solve the world problem of sin. So God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, and in a judicial imputation, he imputed our sins to Christ and judged them in him. The second judicial imputation is the imputation of the perfect righteousness of God to the believer at the moment of faith in Christ. Well, we are spiritually dead and totally depraved, and there's no target or home for that perfect righteousness of God. Once again, a judicial imputation. So at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God imputes his perfect righteousness to every believer. Those are the two judicial imputations which we have studied. There are five real imputations, and we have studied the first three of these. Two of the real imputations occur at physical birth. Human life imputed to the soul, Adam's original sin imputed to the old sin nature. We are born physically alive and spiritually dead. So those are the two real imputations of physical birth. There is also a real imputation at spiritual birth, regeneration. At the moment of our faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. And that is the real imputation of spiritual birth. And then there are two more real imputations, which we have not studied, but we will study them this morning. Real imputation number four, greater grace blessings in time imputed to the believer when he attains spiritual maturity. And Real imputation number 5, greater grace blessings in eternity, which are imputed to the resurrection body of the believer at the judgment seat of Christ. When you take all 7 of these imputations, they form the basis for God's plan for mankind. So we have studied the first 3. The last one we studied was real imputation number 3. We'll quickly review some of that. The real imputation of eternal life at salvation, or our spiritual birth, regeneration. The real imputation of eternal life is the result of our faith in Jesus Christ, John 3:16, John 3:36, John 20:31, 1 John 5:13. Now remember that a real imputation has 2 factors, what is imputed and the target or home for what is imputed. There is always affinity between the two. Eternal life is imputed at salvation. The target is the human spirit, which is manufactured by God the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation, faith in Christ. The ministry of God the Holy Spirit in manufacturing a home for eternal life is called regeneration. Being born again, spiritual birth, the human spirit is the permanent home for eternal life. Eternal life cannot be removed from the human spirit by God or angel or man. Just as the human soul is the permanent residence for human life, so the human spirit is the permanent residence for eternal life. At physical birth, human life is imputed to the soul, while at spiritual birth, regeneration, eternal life is imputed to the human spirit. Now, this real imputation at salvation, plus the real imputation of greater grace blessings at spiritual maturity, prepares the way for the eternal glorification of God through the imputation of eternal reward and blessing at the judgment seat of Christ. All right, real imputation number 4. The real imputation of greater grace, blessings, and time given to the believer when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and attain spiritual maturity. And at that point, down that grace pipeline, from justice on one end to imputed righteousness on the other, comes greater grace, blessings, in time. Right here in the middle of the devil's world. And I hope and expect all of you to realize that and enjoy that and in the short time while you're here. If you do, why, Merry Christmas. You'll have Merry Christmas every single day. And Happy Thanksgiving. You'll have Happy Thanksgiving every single day. If you don't, well, then you'll have Halloween every single day. The choice is yours. You make your own decisions. I can't make anybody do anything. We saw a few passages. Let's start with that this morning. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2, verse 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. What's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life? To have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. When you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you fulfill Deuteronomy 6:5, the mandate. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And that's spiritual maturity. You have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. You have impersonal love for all mankind. You have occupation with Jesus Christ. You share the happiness of God. So all that God has prepared for those who love Him, who have attained spiritual maturity, who have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. Turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do. Now you might have exceedingly abundantly. That's all right. I just threw my pen on the floor. I'll be back in maybe by the end of class.
Okay.
Oh. Thank you. Well, there'll be great crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ for you.
I helped.
Well, maybe not. Now to Him who is able to do, and you see exceedingly abundantly. Guess what the word is? If you've been here, you're familiar with this one. Hooper, ek, barely got that on there. H-U-P-E-R, that's a preposition, plus ek, that's a preposition, plus perisou, P-E-R-I-S-S-O-U. Now, perisou means abundantly all by itself. Now, if you want to emphasize it, you add a preposition, ek. Now it's super abundant. If you want to even make it more, you add another preposition, super, super abundant. So exceedingly abundantly, that's pretty good, but it's huper ek perisou. Now to Him who is able to do hip huper ek perisou, super, super abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. That is greater grace blessings that God has in store for you when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, attain spiritual maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The Old Testament describes this too in Proverbs. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. In this great chapter, we have the personification of wisdom. Wisdom, in the Greek, it's Sophia. In the Hebrew, it's Chokmah. And we have Chokmah used here. Wisdom is the word of God that you have learned and believed. When you believe the truth of God's word, it goes into your heart as wisdom. Now you can apply that truth to your life. So here's the personification of wisdom, the entire chapter, Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs 8 verse 10, it says, choose my instruction, wisdom, instead of silver. Knowledge, the absolute truth of the word of God, rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Wisdom, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Verse 17, I, wisdom, love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. And with me are riches and honor, greater grace blessings in time and enduring wealth and prosperity, greater grace blessings for all eternity. Verse 35, whoever finds me wisdom finds life, capacity for life, and receives grace, greater grace blessings from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. Reversionism, self-induced misery, warning discipline, intensive discipline. And those who hate me love death, the sin unto death. The best things that happen to us in life glorify God. The real imputation of greater grace blessings in time begins when the believer attains spiritual maturity. And the principle is, if God did the greater for us when we were His enemies, when we were His enemies in spiritual death and totally depraved, what did He? He came and designed Operation Grace, the cross, where He sent His eternal Son from heaven to earth on that first Christmas to take on true humanity. Why? To go to a cross and solve the world's problem of sin. He loved us with infinite, impersonal love for the whole world when we were at our worst, to solve our problems of sin and make it possible for anyone, any place, anywhere to receive the gift of eternal life through simple faith in Jesus Christ. If God did the greater for us when we were His enemies, it follows with far, far greater reason that He will not withhold the less to us now that we are royal family of God and when we live the spiritual life and attain spiritual maturity. Turn over to Romans 8. We're in Romans 5. Romans 8 is just around the corner. Some of you will probably be in heaven by the time I get there, but we'll finish it when we get to heaven. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, first class condition, and He is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, that the infinite, impersonal love of God the Father designing Operation Grace, the cross, He did this when we were at our worst, when we were His enemies. How will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things, greater grace blessings at spiritual maturity, now that we are royal family of God? These greater grace blessings are made up of several categories, and we'll take a look at these. Category number one are spiritual blessings. When you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, when you advance to spiritual maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, all of you will receive spiritual blessings. And what does that mean? What is included in that, spiritual blessings? One, you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father. You fulfill the mandate of Deuteronomy 6:5. You love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. You have impersonal love for all. You love your neighbor as yourself. John 15:12 and 15:17. You have impersonal love for the whole human race. You have occupation with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:17. Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart. What a blessing! You have at home in your heart the living and true God, Jesus Christ, to enjoy moment by moment, day by day. Enjoy Jesus Christ. In my heart, Jesus Christ is at home in my heart. There's a fireplace in my heart. Fireplace, and there's a recliner. The Lord Jesus Christ is in a recliner in front of the fireplace. I'm in another recliner. We're both enjoying the fireplace and enjoying each other. Enjoying each other moment by moment, day by day. How can it get any better than that? No matter what's going on. And there's a lot of crap going on in the world, all over the world, in America. But for the believer who advances to spiritual maturity, has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart, he has this phenomenal spiritual blessing. Jesus Christ is at home in your heart. Occupation with Christ. You have capacity for life and love and happiness. You have capacity for blessing. You have capacity for adversity. And we'll all have some adversity that's just hurdles. I was a hurdler in college. I love running hurdles. Now I don't run physical hurdles anymore. I run spiritual hurdles. But I don't care. I love running hurdles. All right, God gives you some adversity. You get to run some hurdles. Great! All you have to do is learn how to clear the hurdle correctly. And that's God's problem-solving devices. And you learn those and get those in your soul. Why, then when the hurdle comes, you just clear it and glorify God in the process. So you have capacity for life and love and happiness and blessing and adversity. You share the happiness of God. You have Christmas every day. You have Thanksgiving every day. You have the ability to cope with any disaster in life. You have freedom from slavery to the circumstances of life. You have ability to correctly interpret contemporary history. See what's going on in the world and correctly evaluate current events in terms of the perfect standard. God has given us an absolute standard, His Word. And so because of that absolute standard, you can look at what's going on in the world and know, correctly interpret what's going on in history. You can look at what's going on in America and correctly interpret what's going on in our nation. You can look and see we're a nation in apostasy. We're a nation that's coming under the five cycles of national discipline. And you can see that from the absolute standard of the Word of God. You can see that we have a problem in America. It's a spiritual problem. And there is a solution. It's a spiritual solution. And you're a part of that solution. Every one of you, you're a part of that solution. All it takes is your positive volition and your humility, your respect for God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. You have the blessing of grace orientation and grace function in your life. Understanding and functioning under grace principles. You have flexibility. Flexibility to adapt to the changing circumstances of life. You have maximum function of the Royal Family Honor Code. Honor. Great, great word. Great word in the military. Great word when it comes to God. You see, God has infinite honor. There's a word that's used, a fine word, holy and holiness. They're great. And God is holy. God is holy means God has absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Yes, God is holy. And that means He is infinite integrity, infinite honor, infinite virtue. And God has this infinite honor and virtue and integrity. And once you place your faith in Jesus Christ and your royal family of God, He wants you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and to live your life by the royal family honor code. And you have a total sense of security in relationship to the plan of God. And you will enjoy dying grace, being totally prepared for death when it comes. And I realize the rapture could take place today, maybe before I finish teaching. If it does take place before I finish teaching, I won't be here. If you're still here, I would suggest you bow your head and place your faith in Jesus Christ right away. You're still going to go through 7 years of hell here on earth called the tribulation and the great tribulation, but for those who believe in Christ, the next event in God's calendar, prophetic calendar, the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God, is signless and timeless. Paul thought the rapture could occur in his day because of the principle the rapture is imminent. There's nothing, there's no prophecy that has to be fulfilled before the rapture takes place. So Paul thought the rapture could take place in his day. It didn't. It could take place in our day, a couple thousand years later. But apart from the rapture, we will all go through physical death. And for the spiritually mature believer, one of the great spiritual blessings is dying grace. You're not afraid of it. There's no fear. No matter how God decides you're going to transfer from time to eternity, there's no fear. He makes the decision, the sovereignty of God. He chooses the time, the manner, the place. And it's perfect. I know a lot of you think I'm going to go to heaven driving my car, because I sleep a lot while I drive. It also scares the hell out of everybody who rides with me. And I've driven off the road. We were going on hunting trips, and everybody was following me, and I fell asleep. Perfect place. In a canyon with a hill that went straight down. I fell asleep, hit the marker, bang, woke me up, and down I go, all the way down the bottom. And I'm pulling a trailer with ATVs. I got down, I look in my mirror, I go, damn, the ATVs in the trailer are still back there. And I got down the bottom, there was an old dirt road, and I turned, went up that dirt road, it brought me back to the highway. I got up to the edge of the highway and got out, and I mean, the rest of them behind, they were crying, there goes Pastor Olson! Some were cheering, yay, there goes Pastor Olson! And I got out and looked. I said, that was fun. Well, I don't know how the Lord's going to take me home. But I'm looking forward to going through dying grace. When I read the 23rd Psalm, David is a spiritually mature believer. He will look forward to dying grace, going through it. I'm looking forward to it. It's better than anything you've had in life. Better than all the greater grace blessings you have while you're here. And if I like it, liken it to dessert. I like dessert. And I like chocolate pie, whipped cream, maraschino cherries. I don't want to miss out on that. Now, if the rapture, I'm not going to say if the rapture takes place, send me back. I'm not going to do that. But dying grace, being totally prepared for death, having confidence in God's place and manner and time for your death. All of these things make up the first category of greater grace blessings in time, spiritual blessings. And all of you who attain spiritual maturity, all of you will have all of these spiritual blessings, will be reality in your life. Reality. The best. Now the second category is temporal blessings. And this is different from the spiritual blessings in that the spiritually mature believer can expect some of these temporal blessings, but not all of them, but some of them. What it can be included in those temporal blessings? Wealth. Wealth that is received or acquired. Success. Prominence in one's sphere of life. Promotion. Prosperity socially. Prosperity technically. Prosperity culturally. Prosperity professionally, prosperity mentally, and in the area of establishment. It can include leadership dynamics, plus great stability of character. It can, for some, include good health. Good health is for some. For others, they have all kinds of poor health. And we have seen on our prayer list of many people going through very difficult times in health, cancers of different types. But the spiritually mature believer can expect some of these temporal blessings, but not necessarily all of them. So greater grace blessings in time include these great spiritual blessings, which you all will receive, temporal blessings. Category number three, blessing by association. Blessing by association. And let's amplify that a little bit. First of all, the spiritually mature believer is a blessing to those in his generation, both during his life and after his death. And he is a blessing to those who were associated with him until their death. So the spiritually mature believer is a blessing to those in his generation, both during his life and after his death, and to those who were associated with him until his death. Two, this can be illustrated in many different ways. You could be a janitor. You could be a janitor in a business. The president and vice president and everybody involved in the higher up, they're not believers in Jesus Christ. They might even be full of evil and totally out of line. And yet that business will be blessed because of a person that nobody thinks count. They think he's a no count because he's a janitor. And yet they're blessed by association with that janitor. And even though they might be totally reversionistic as the president, vice president, This is why the wicked prosper. This illustrates why the wicked prosper. They never understand why, but it was that janitor who was a spiritually mature believer. The one who came in and dumped their garbage, waste cans, cleaned out their ashtrays, did those things again and again and again. And they were blessed by association with him. 3. There are two categories of blessing by association. Direct blessing from God, an indirect blessing in which the spiritually mature believer shares his blessing, whether it's spiritual or material. So there are two categories of blessing by association. Direct blessing from God and indirect blessing in which the spiritually mature believer shares his blessing, whether it's spiritual or material. 4, subpoint 4, there are 6 areas of blessing by association. 6 areas of blessing by association. First of all, the spiritual periphery. This is association with spiritually mature believers in the local church. Or spiritually mature believers other places all over the country, around the world. So the spiritual periphery from association with spiritually mature believers in the local church. I always think of Ralph and Cindy LaRosa. There are two spiritually mature believers, missionaries in the Philippines, fantastic missionaries. They have spent most of their life in the Philippines. And they have presented establishment truth, gospel truth, doctrinal truth. Many, many people in the Philippines have become believers in Jesus Christ and advanced to spiritual maturity through them. And they are part of our ministry too. And we support them on a daily basis or weekly basis. But that's the spiritual periphery. There's a personal periphery, which includes loved ones. When someone in the family reaches spiritual maturity, the rest of the family is blessed. And a lot, sometimes they're not even saved. Or if they are, they're not interested in God or the Word of God. And yet they're blessed by association with you as a spiritually mature believer. Association with loved ones. Third, professional periphery. This can include schools, military organizations, athletic teams, professional periphery. Fourth, there is a business periphery. 5, there is a social periphery, including friends, clubs. 6, there is a geographical periphery, which can include the city, your neighborhood, the state, the nation. 5, there is the heritage factor. The heritage factor. Blessing by association is perpetuated to those with whom the spiritually mature believer had association after his death. After his death, until they die. So here's the spiritually mature believer. He's associated with these people. The spiritually mature believer goes home to be absent from the body, face to face with the Lord, and these other people who associated with him, they're still blessed after he is gone for the rest of their life as well. And this, again, is why the wicked prosper. Even reversionists prosper because they were associated with a spiritually mature believer in some way. So that's category number three, blessing by association. All right, we'll take a break, but we're just getting warmed up. So we'll pick it up with category number four when we come back.